Our talk all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Well, good yawning this morning. It's Monday, the 13th of February, 2023, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning. Today, I would like to talk about what's in the news, what's in the headlines, what's been in the news. Let me give you the numbers to call this morning. You can reach us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4316, 325-4259. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. I'm sending out this public notice. Dear loved ones, do not forget that you have a heavy, heavy obligation. There's great expectation for you tomorrow. Remember, it's the thought that counts. Think hard about it. Don't get yourself in a problem tomorrow. In other news, well, another important announcement. I am here this morning to remind you that it is illegal to turn left on red anywhere but University Drive and University Commons intersection. That's what we used to call Thompson Boulevard. To turn to go to the stadium and National Insurance. You can only turn left on red there. You cannot turn right on red anywhere. Not anywhere. Not even in your mind. This minister tried that. Did not work. Don't do that. I plead, I beg, I implore the Royal Bahamas Police Force to begin enforcing traffic controls. Now, I see a number of roadblocks, people complaining, and people are happy to see the roadblocks, police presence. But I argue that the roadblock is more problems than it is solutions. You're causing more backups and delays and issues. A regular police patrol would have a greater effect in moderating driving behavior, catching and identifying small traffic infractions, and even catching and detaining serious criminals. Yes, Texter. Right now, the text just came in. Erin, please continue to remind these drivers the rule about turning left on a red light. Some of them tried to blow you to go, but I don't move at all. Listen, you know, we live in this place where we practice something I call Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior theology. No, the New Testament theology, Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. But the way we practice it is like it's to the exclusion of everybody else. Like Jesus could only be my friend. He don't have enough time and space busy saving the world to be everybody's friend. I want you to treat your insurance agent like that. He's your boy. Like he's Jesus and you were with him when God died. Check Nietzsche. Nietzsche knows the story. I'm not saying he's a snitch, but Nietzsche knows the story. You need you to treat your insurance agent like that. And today, before Valentine's, don't call your insurance agent on Valentine's Day. Your significant other will be very jealous. Today, call your insurance agent and ask them what the law is. The police don't know. The police don't know that all of them are traffic officers. They don't know. Call your insurance agent and ask them. You can only turn left on red at University Drive and University Commons. And you can't turn right on red anywhere. But if I were interested in putting revenue into the Royal Bahamas Police Force petty cash wallet to take care of basic things that they need, like sweaters, I would sit right at Mackey and Shirley Street all day and collect revenue from tourism industry actors who continue to turn right on red at that intersection and act like bullies. Ah, boy, dear texter, I got somebody texting me about the Super Bowl show. That was a great game, wasn't it? That was an awesome game. And then somebody said, who do I think is the queen of the big forehead? Is it Tyra or Rihanna? Tyra Banks. And I'm going to read this tweet. I'm reading this tweet because, Bahamian, we got plenty of people with big forehead now. We got plenty of people with big forehead. I mean, maybe that's why y'all ain't scared of having an accident. Y'all ain't scared of getting an accident because you got a big forehead to protect you. Anyway, I'm not making fun of people who've been in accidents. But that was a really nice show. A nice halftime show. I really enjoyed it yesterday. But then we talk sports a little later in the week on Friday. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs on their win. All right, so this morning I want to talk a bit about the upcoming CARICOM meeting. There's an article in last week's Guardian. I think it was Friday's Guardian. Bahamas 8th on regional murder rate chart. We've had another weekend of shootings, grievous injuries, and killings. The homicide count has certainly gone up this weekend. Then judge lifts shantytown injunction. Judge lifts shantytown injunction. And UN human rights chief calls for special forces to Haiti. And I want to include that story so we could have some context of why Haitians are leaving Haiti. We seem to think that they get on these boats with the singular aim of coming to annoy Bahamians, coming to the Bahamas to annoy Bahamians. We're going to add some context to that. And then I want to say Saturday, the 11th of February, was the 8th International Day of Women and Girls in Science. And the Office of the Spouse in the Bahamas extended heartfelt recognition and support to all the women and girls who have made and continue to make invaluable contributions to the fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So, let's start with Bahamas 8th on regional murder chart. All right, I got a text here. Sorry, I'm going to go back to this. It says, morning, why you keep saying it's illegal to turn left on red except two places? Didn't the law pass that you can turn on red wherever? Just asking. Great. Dear texter, this is why I say it every day. So in 2019, I think July 23rd it may have been, the Traffic Amendments Act was tabled. In the story covering that, the then minister responsible for transport, Renwood Wells, said, you could turn left on red now. That's all of the media reported it just like that. It turns out, though, when you read the legislation actually says you can only turn left on red where there is a sign permitting it. Now, let's be very clear. Every once in a blue moon, Ministry of Works hires a contractor to spray paint in the road. Some of our traffic lanes at intersections have a left turn arrow. Some of them don't. Not because they're not supposed to, but because the paint has faded away and nobody felt the need to repaint them. That arrow, that left turn arrow in the road on the surface of the asphalt, is not the sign that you could turn left. It is not the sign. Some intersections in the traffic light, they have a turn left arrow. You can only turn left if that turn left arrow is green. That is not the sign. There is only one sign erected, and that is at University Drive and University Commons. Now, for those who are unfamiliar with the road name change, that's Thompson Boulevard, where you go to the stadium. Now, that's a four-way intersection. Only one exit at that four-way intersection permits you to turn left on red. Only the one westbound on University Drive to turn left on the University Commons. It also has a left turn lane. But most importantly, it had a sign. Now, it appears as if there's some debate between Road Traffic Department in Royal Bahamas Police Force and the other ministries responsible for this change. One of the things I heard was there was a debate about whether they are going to erect signs where you cannot turn left on red, right? Like the see, but the law says you're looking for a sign that says you can turn left on red. But I heard that people, stakeholders, like more than me and you, the actual people who driving on the road all the time, we're not the stakeholders, I mean. The Royal Bahamas Police Force and other government actors were debating or negotiating, suggesting that it should be, you could turn left on red anywhere except where there's a sign indicating that you can't. Well, let's pause here for a minute. New Providence was not properly designed, not for cars. For donkeys, maybe, but not for cars. And so, there are far more corners where you cannot turn left. And I say cannot. I didn't say should not. I said cannot. And I mean to say it like that. Because y'all know better than what you're doing on the road. I don't think we should go with that plan. I think y'all should stop trying to negotiate that out. Y'all need to sit down right now and determine which intersections you can turn left on red and put up the signs. You can't pull the law back now. All of y'all been to the school assembly where they tell you, you can't go from talking on the phone to holding hands and then back to just talking on the phone. You can't go from holding hands to kissing and then just back to holding hands only. And you can't go from being intimate just back to only talking on the phone and maintain the same level of relationship. In the same way, it's too late. You can't pull this law back in the bag. Y'all need to immediately identify the intersections where you can turn left on red and put up the signs. See, there's a fancy word that I would have known if I stuck it out in law school, but I could be honest with you. You know who needed that turn left sign long time? COBUB law school. Anyway, that's another point. There's a fancy word for it. This cannot be tolerated in the law. You done passed the law. You done gazetted the law. The law is supposed to be enforced, hey? And then you come back and say, oh, yeah, well, that ain't exactly what the law says. The law abhors a vacuum. You have to act. And it's not just the law itself that requires it. Look around you. Look at the number of good, decent, church-going Bahamians. Notice I didn't say taxpaying. I don't know if the two go together. But decent, church-going Bahamians that just refuse to operate their motor vehicles with common sense. They refuse to do what they know they ought to do when they know they ought to do it because they know ain't nobody gonna do anything about it. They are prepared for people to look them in their face and ask them what's wrong with them. Got a text here that says, thank you. I agree with what you're saying. Great show. Keep up the good work. I need you all to understand there are more Bahamians out there that agree with me than don't agree with me, you know. They just scared to say anything in the public airwaves. The people are out here terrorizing ordinary Bahamians. And there's two type of terrorizing, you know. Let's talk about it. There's two type of terrorizing. It's those people that just shoot out the corner. They don't care about stop signs and red lights. They'll overtake five cars to turn left on red, even though everybody else adhering to the law. It's them set of people, right? And then there's another set of people who out here terrorizing people on the road. You could imagine the government spent all that money to create a dual carriageway so two cars could drive in the same direction in opposite lanes at the same time, and y'all decide that you're going to drive at 15 miles an hour in both lanes with nobody in front of you, with nowhere to go. And you could talk about, well, I don't know why y'all want speed everywhere. The road was designed for you to be accommodated if you don't want to get your eyes tested, if you don't want to have a talk with your family members about how you don't feel competent enough to drive on every road anymore. The road was designed to accommodate you. So people operating at different paces can operate at different paces. Got another text here. Note all roads being paved for CARICOM? But streetlights out on highway from 100 yards going east of Blake Road roundabout and on West Bay by all along Sapodilla Restaurant going to Rock Point House where George Moscow used to live. So please ask Ministry of Works to fix the lights on both roads. It is very, very dark at night. I had to go out west on Friday night. Very dangerous. Yes. See, let's stick a pin on the traffic thing for a second. Not really sticking a pin. Remember last week I told you all that I think that Alfred Sayers should resign, just not over BPL? Because if Alfred Sayers is going to resign over BPL, we're going to pull a whole lot of people back to make them resign. We're going to appoint them as parliamentary secretaries, give them 1 month paycheck, make them resign and give the money back. The BPL thing is special. Now, we want Alfred Sayers to resign. There are many, many reasons why he should resign right now. And one of them is JFK Drive and the lack of proper streetlights. And why don't we have people cleaning and clearing the roads regularly, given the high rate of speed that people travel on that road? So that's one of the reasons why Alfred Sayers could resign. He could get fired right now. But if we're going to talk about BPL, first things first, the FNM, this administration, who I'm sure at the most appropriate moment would like to claim that they are not responsible for the actions of the previous FNM administration, the same way the BPL board under the FNM administration told the head of the Chamber of Commerce, Energy, and Conservation Committee that they are not going to answer any questions that had been put to the former board? That's under an FNM administration. We're not saying that nobody should resign or get fired, you know. We're just saying that let's save it all for one big party, so y'all could all resign at one time. And we're going to have the reception on Frank Watson Boulevard. What we are going to do is we're going to continue to insist that you keep the BPL investigation and all matters related out of the realm of politics. There are no solutions, resolutions in the realm of politics. There is no transparency and accountability. But in the land of governance, where there are real mechanisms that the opposition can use and backbenchers can use to investigate these things, that is where we will find solutions. And so, no, Mr. Pintard, we are not going to entertain the FNM's calls for Alfred Sayers to resign over BPL. All of you should resign over BPL. And for those who would later argument, and it's a valid position, would later argument that that's not it, that Alfred Sayers should resign for misleading the House. Well, let me tell you about what the first 100 days with no politicians going to look like, because everybody going to have to resign, hey. I don't know if there is a politician that could escape that brush. At some point in time, they have all misled or participated in acts intended to mislead, or that unintentionally misled but were never clarified to the House. Right? That is why Alfred Sayers should resign. Alfred Sayers should resign, first of all, because the PLP in opposition did not do a good enough job of calling for the former Minister of Works to resign. Not just the state of Abaco, 3 years, 3.5 years post the worst hurricane in the history, the documented history of hurricanes. It's because of the lack of any clear, transparent policy plan for Abaco. Y'all couldn't get the public's help if you actually wanted it, because you refused to tell us what it is you're doing and how it is we could help. If you look at the state of Abaco, you just look at the state of Abaco. It don't matter who, see, this is the next thing. It don't matter who the Minister of Works is, you know. They just need to resign. It's obvious that they're not doing enough. Abaco is just one story. It's just one story. Got a next text here. Say, great show as usual. I just passed the airport road. The lady cleaning the road but throwing the garbage in the bush. Boy, I tell ya. Well, I don't know what happened to beaches and parks under this new administration. I'm more inclined to say that the successes that we saw was under the leadership of Shenandoah Cartwright versus the FNM. I would say Shenandoah Cartwright. I don't know what's going on with beaches and parks. I have to make this point. Whoever is responsible for managing beaches and parks staff, you need to tell your staff that if they are cleaning the road, right, like on Shirley Street, right opposite CIBC, right on the new U.S. Embassy compound, right there. You're cleaning the road right there. You need to stand on the sidewalk and put your broom and your dustpan in the road. Now, I know you're saying, Aaron, why you mention? I never thought I would have to mention this. I never thought I would have to tell big grown people, did you need to get out of the road when you see oncoming traffic? Especially if you can do the job you're doing from the sidewalk. Especially if you don't have a cone. Do you know how easy it is to supply your staff with a traffic cone that they can use to protect themselves when they insist in standing on the road to clean the road? When they can stand on the sidewalk using the tools that they have to clean the road? Do they understand what the state of the hospital is? Do they understand how long it takes government to pay out on anything? thing. Whoever the managers are for these people need to take personal responsibility for allowing them to put their lives at risk. Texas says they need to protect themselves with common sense. Yes, they do. But still, somebody has a statutory obligation to ensure that their workplace is safe. Just because they don't work inside an office doesn't mean that there's not a statutory obligation. In fact, Equality Bahamas has been working on this campaign for well over a year. And they've been talking about sexual harassment in the workplace, but they've also talked about violence in the workplace and what the workplace is. The workplace isn't just when you get to the office and clock in. Like, the workplace also includes your journey to work. And somebody has a responsibility for that. Somebody said, give me a belt, they would learn today. It really does, though, feel like that is the only action that compels people to do what they know they ought to do. Text, good morning. Something also needs to be done about these big dump trucks with unsecured loads littering all over the street. One just let all type of garbage on the street. Dear texter, thank you very much. There are regulations in place. So big dump trucks are supposed to have covers. They're supposed to have a device that covers the entire load. It gets better, though, texter. When they go to a company to fill the truck, there is a standard and the person providing the material should stop filling the truck when it hits that line. See, you don't have to rely on the truck driver service provider who is trying to be as efficient as possible, right? And carry as much fill as he can in one load. You can't rely on him because his desire for survival is too strong. You have to rely on all the parties at play to ensure that the standard is met. The truck should not leave whatever station it was at that full, so full that it cannot contain its load to the next location. I got another text here. I got to read it because it seems important. Good morning. There's been a shortage of Azaga eye drops in Freeport pharmacies for the past 3 weeks for NIB customers. My mom was unable to secure her meds for weeks, but they have for regular customers. Okay, so I have a texter here that's really saying that some NIB customers are saying that they cannot access this particular product, Azaga eye drops, but as far as they know, regular paying customers are able to access it. Thank you for sending me that text. I'm hoping that the people at NHI are listening and they ensure that there's no discrimination in services and access to medication. Dear private pharmacies, I know that people have bills to pay. You know that you may have investors. In fact, you may have a statutory obligation to meet your bottom line. You can't be giving away things for free. But we're talking about medicine. And one of the things we should guarantee in this country is equal and equitable access to medication and healthcare. Don't mind the government don't take it seriously. We could take it seriously. I got a text here that says, essentially, talk to your doctor about any natural remedies or alternate bush remedies that may be helpful while you are waiting a return to your normal supply levels. Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. Sorry I took so long. You on the clock.
Morning, Aaron. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks. I wanted to bring something to your attention and to the wider listening audience, mm-hmm. and see if you could investigate something for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us talking about healthcare, but those of us with private health insurance,
mm-hmm.
It was recently brought to my attention that the insurance companies are applying a fee book for services and charges dated 2015, whereas the doctors are applying a fee book for services and charges of 2020. So essentially what this means, Aaron, is that if you have private insurance and you go to the doctor and you pay your copay, then the doctor's office will then try and claim back from the insurance company for the balance. Mm-hmm. So if you have like a 80-20 plan, so for instance, you pay 20% copay at the time of your visit.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're thinking that the 80% that's remaining is going to be absorbed by the insurance company 100%.
Mm-hmm.
However, that is not in fact the case, because the insurance companies are coming back and saying that the 80%, a portion of that is over and above the usual and customary charges. They call it R&C, reasonable and customary charges. And as a result, they're only paying a certain portion of the 80% because they're applying a fee book, a fee scale of 2015, whereas the doctors are charging based on a 2020 book. I recently had an incident where the 80% balance to be absorbed by my insurance company was, say, $300.
Mm-hmm.
So I got an email from my doctor's office 2 months later to say that the insurance company only paid $200 of that $300, because as far as they're concerned, that $100 difference is over and above the usual and customary charge because they're applying a different fee book from the doctors. I understand from the law, the legislative perspective, that the insurance commission, there's nothing in the Insurance Act that mandates that the insurance companies apply the most recent fee book. It's at their discretion. Apparently, that's built in to your plan because it's in the fine print, right? That most people never read. But, you know, the fact that the doctors and the insurance companies are not on the same page when it comes to the fees that they're applying, to me, it's, even though it might not be mandated legislatively, it is unethical. You know, it just, something has to change here because the insurance companies are raping us. They are making all of this extra money because they're refusing to pay the balance of the total balance of your plan, the full amount of your remaining 80%.
Yeah.
Now, the doctor's offices are telling me that, you know, they're applying the fee book, which is the fee book that is used, that is being used worldwide, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that the insurance companies are refusing to come up to the current fee book because they're going to lose money. You're paying these high premiums.
Here's what I'll do. I'm going to reach out to the Bahamas Insurance, is it agency? You know, the governing body?
Insurance Commission.
Okay, the commission, the governing body. And then I think I like to call them special interest groups, but there is a professional organization, right, for the insurance industry still. So I reach out to the two of them. And let's bring some clarity to this matter, because there has to be clarity. First of all, what do your customers understand their service to be, right? Like second of all, why wouldn't you all be on the same page? Why would you create an environment where there could be such a profound lack of clarity?
And such a vast difference in pricing.
Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
All right. So tell me, it's the Bahamas Insurance Commission?
Yes, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
Uh-huh.
I think the executive director is Michelle Field.
Okay.
But I'm also going to be writing a letter myself because I've lodged a complaint with my insurance company. And I'm also going to be writing a letter to the insurance commission because, you know, it's just that you think you have an 80-20 plan, which means once you pay your copay, you expect your insurance company to absorb the full amount of the 80% that's left.
Mm-hmm.
But when you boil it down, Aaron, your plan is essentially a 50-50 plan because you have to absorb 50% of the service.
Ooh. Listen,
yeah,
thank you.
By the time as you break it down and you apply the cost and you work out the percentage of what you are left holding, you're essentially working with a 50-50 or a 60-40 plan in some cases, depending
on
the doctor.
Absolutely. Thank you. Listen, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Aaron.
Absolutely. Okay. And so now I'm going to call on the Chamber of Commerce and Employers Federation to partner with the Bahamas Insurance Commission for a series of public discussions on VAT and medical insurance. VAT and insurance generally, but specifically medical insurance. I'm going to tell you why I feel the need to put that out publicly. Because earlier this year, at the top of the year, it was this year, the end of December, anyway, the business outlook. I don't know why the government decided that it was going to make such an important announcement at Business Outlook, the top three issues that the government intends to prioritize over the next 12 months, right? But they decided to do it at Business Outlook. That's on the side. That they did not include healthcare and Princess Margaret Hospital, right? And the PHA system on their list of issues to be prioritized over the next 12 months is concerning. See, it ain't the state, necessarily the state of the hospital that's the crisis, you know. It's the lack of a plan to deal with the state of the hospital that's the crisis. And in the same way, with all of these matters up in the air on the table that will affect your ability to access healthcare, that will potentially drive more and more people to the healthcare system, how in God's name is it that you haven't prioritized this at all? Is it not a problem for you? All right, a couple of texts, and then I think we got to go to a break. Morning, Aaron. Please reach out to the BIA. Insurance is a doozy. I text the angry department. They don't tell people the fine print. You can't get a copy of your policy if you're in a group plan and they pay different doctors different fees for the same services. Listen, here's what the problem is with insurance. It's like insurance is a capitalist venture, but it deals with health care, which is not a capitalist venture. It shouldn't be, right? Health care shouldn't be a capitalist venture. Ensuring that people have access to the things they need to save their lives should never, ever commingle or intermingle with capitalism. But here we are. People, God, you gave us the brains to create the things we need, and we here on the planet treating insurance like a capitalist endeavor. Okay, another text. Hey, Ms. Green. I don't think that lady knows a plan. There comes a point in insurance where you have to meet a deductible before the insurance starts to absorb the fees 100%. 2-to-1, she probably hasn't met her deductible yet. That's why she had to pay that fee. She may need to sit with her agent and read through a policy. But text her, wouldn't the 20% be the deductible? The part that she have to pay? Wouldn't that be it? Because what she's saying, no, what she said is not that she expected the insurance company to cover 100% of the cost. She said she went into the doctors knowing that she had to cover 20%. Of the cost, and the insurance industry a company would cover the other 80% of the cost, right? So when she walked into the doctor, she's prepared to pay 20% of what the whole thing costs, and her insurance company was going to pay the other 80%. But at the end of the day, when she got a call from the doctors that say, listen, you paid 20, expecting the insurance to pay 80, but the insurance actually only paid 75. And so you can come up with the rest of the money. Okay, I got another text. That's her copay. She may have a deductible of 500 annually. For example, she may not have spent 500 for the year yet. Therefore, the 100% won't kick in yet. So you trying to tell me, dear text, I'm going to get back to your text in a second. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. Enjoying this better. Listen, Carl Com is going to be on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
And what if Carl Com and the Prime Minister get advice on local government and do problems? Because it's not like you're being honest, got local government. And how serious local government is for the city and crime. We had significant crime this morning, and the community is not involved.
would you, okay, tell me what the significant crime was this morning, the shooting in Tropical Gardens?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I think...
No matter what, I mean, come on, I mean...
No, I think there were at least...
I think they joined Super Bowl.
I think there were at least three homicides this weekend. I heard on social media's rumors about at least one more, and I think somebody who was grievously injured died in hospital as well this weekend. But let me tell you what the government intends, well, what the agenda is for the 44th regular meeting of the CARICOM meeting.
That's not an agenda. Oh, you want it? Yeah, the public domain.
Yeah, it's the economy, climate change, including climate finance, agriculture and food security, security and health will again be the focus.
And Haiti.
They didn't say Haiti on the thing.
Yeah. I also mentioned that. The solution for Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can invade here. And seems like both successful government, including my government, I support the PRP, kill a PRP, or die a PRP. But the point is, I'm also a bohemian. Not die a bohemian. Not criticize here, criticize neither. Contra my constitutional right, your constitutional right here, right? But it is common sense that the community need to be involved in this 21/7. And the only way they could be involved is your local government system. I hear it, one of the ministers, they disagree with local government. But then
hold on, one of the Bahamian ministers?
Yeah, again, he's ignorant of facts.
Man, look here, send me a link to that statement. But you
I
know,
but
Pumpkin Eater, you know they... You know they don't. You know the government is not inclined to move towards local government, right?
I know, but we're gonna move them. The people gonna pour force into it.
Listen,
that's why I'm continuing to agitate until one do it. Even Aaron, if I have to cross the floor.
See, I can show you why. You from the moment you mentioned cross the floor, take the House of Assembly out of it. You don't need government to do the vast majority of the things that you want to do with local government.
I'm aware of that, but I don't want it. I want a system of local government for New Providence. I understand
absolutely
what you're
saying. But listen, here's what I'm telling you. All of the most successful people in this country did not wait for the government or the law. They didn't wait for the government or the law. You see what I'm saying? You all just get going and start devising small mechanisms and practices in your local space and
that's
build it up slowly.
Getting the smart, getting the people in general who listen to your show.
Yeah.
To come together and let's push for local government.
Absolutely. But listen, I'm running out of time. I can talk more about CARICOM, this CARICOM meeting tomorrow.
Well, I like that Kansas City game. We could talk more about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping to get the, with Mr. Cecil Newry, I was hoping to get the Minister of Foreign Affairs on so we could talk about what to look forward to in this CARICOM meeting, both culture and politics. And
why don't you write that beautiful lady, Prime Minister from Barbados, powerful woman.
Me and Motley, we're not on good terms. She caused me to have to ponder seriously the question, what's worse, the crown or the IMF? I never thought I was going to have to ponder that. But Pumpkin Eater, I got to go, man.
I love that woman. Have a good day.
Yes, man. Yes, man. On the agenda, something that I find very interesting. Reform of the global financial architecture will engage the heads of government, who will also receive a number of foreign guests to discuss political, economic, and financial matters relevant to our community. Producer, is this another caller? Okay. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. We can talk more about CARICOM tomorrow. Let me get through these texts. Aaron, you on these traffic infractions today, thank God. Please also remind work crew that the cones should be placed a distance from the area they are working, not at the spot they are working. Drivers should have a good notification of the upcoming road work. And right, that's what I was going to say. Like, these politicians, there's an article in here. It's just like pure poetry, you know? It don't have to make sense. It just sounds good. If you turn to page 11 of the Nassau Guardian, AG, we believe it was the correct decision. All of the news stories, even the numbers, like poetry, but even it's like when you see them in action, it's like a performance. whoever's responsible for the renovations at Government House and the current work on the wall there, I'm going to need you to put the detour signs well before the actual location of the roadworks. Put detour signs all the way back to Shirley Street. I mean, to East Street and Shirley Street. Put the detour sign at Elizabeth Avenue. Give people lots of time to think about what they're going to do. Put regular notices up. Put cones up well before the detour begins. Also, whoever's responsible for the roundabout in front of QC, I'm going to need you to write the company that sent you that and pack it up and send it back in the mail. Send it back in the mail. The roundabout is not large enough. I don't know why you're going to cause me to come on the radio every day and chastise my good alma mater and the parents and guardians and people who refuse to moderate their behavior. They're already upset because they say they only have one entrance and exit. The roundabout is not large enough to accommodate the amount of traffic that's going to be there in that peak time. The whole point of the roundabout was to accommodate the traffic during those peak times. Another text. Morning, Ms. Green. You should have a copy of the left turn law in your hand to read it before commenting so we all can hear what it says. The idea of the left turn law was to ease the congestion of traffic waiting at the light. Turning left was only permitted if no vehicle was approaching from the opposite direction. Dear texter, I actually think I have the law in my file, you know. I don't think I have enough time to search for it. The law says that you can only turn left where there is a sign indicating that you can only turn left. That's what the law says. I will ensure that I have the law. Road traffic amendment regulations, I got it right here. I don't think I have enough time, though, to stop to pull the provision. Here's another text. Morning. The entire Milo Butler median needs to be cleaned at least twice a month. Also, since they refuse to put up cameras to charge litterers included in their crony contracts, picking up litter twice a month on that strip. Who is holding these contractors responsible? They don't like to hire inspectors to inspect the work. That's why the pothole on Bernard Road, just east of Aquapure and immediately west of the Danottage entrance, done open up again. The potholes all over the place just reopening. You must inspect the work of the contractors and subcontractors to determine whether you're going to give them the contract again. Another, there's a $500 deductible for the first year and then the 80-20 would kick in for the remainder of the year. Listen, I don't know anything about this witchery. It's supposed to be health care. It's supposed to be insurance. It's not supposed to be capitalism. Also, person texted in, not all plans have deductibles. I don't have a deductible. My plan is 80-20 plan. I know my plan very well. I don't have a deductible. Also, the point I was making is that insurance companies and the doctor's offices are not applying the same fee rates, hence the disparity. Yeah, the desk caller, I get that. I think most people got it. Don't mind me. I'm launching a slightly separate critique of the insurance industry. Texas said, was thinking the same. The lady doesn't understand insurance. Usual and customary is a standard practice worldwide. Listen, I think we understand insurance very well. And all I say to the insurance industry is use your powers for good. I remind myself every day to use my powers for good, not for evil. Right? Use your powers for good. And help the Bahamian people understand what it is that they is required of them. Don't treat this like the government treats everything. Oh, if the people wanted to know, they would find out. Please don't treat us like this, like that. Okay? Insurance isn't supposed to be capitalism. All right. Dear producer, give me a second. Dear listening audience, give me a second to look at this. Okay. Official Gazette, the Bahamas, 27th of March, 2019. Road Traffic Act, Chapter 220. Road Traffic Amendment Regulations, 2019. Article 2, insertion of new regulation 20A into sub leg, that's LEG dot, volume dot 3, comma, chapter 220, page 107. The road traffic regulations are amended by the assertion immediately following regulation 20 of the following new regulation. 20A, left turn on red light. 1. Notwithstanding regulation 4AC, where a sign permits a turn on a red signal, a driver facing a red signal, after coming to a full stop, may cautiously enter the intersection and make a left turn. Where a sign permits a turn on a red signal, I have read the law for you. I'm going to read it tomorrow, and I may read it every day. Thank you, texters. Thank you, callers. Sometimes we don't go in the direction that we was going in, but remember, Honorable former Prime Minister Minnis warned us about that, and we are prepared. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for tuning in. I'm going to look into these things, and I'm going to read this law again tomorrow. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM and Cecil Newry is up next.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.